Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
See his banner go. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and I'm Pastor Steve that reads the scriptures to you. And this show is for Friday, November the 4th, 2016. We are going to be doing chapters 21 and 22 of the book of Yahshua, which is Joshua in English. And Monday, we will be finishing up that book with chapters 23 and 24. And on Tuesday, we will be getting into the book of Shofetim, which is Judges. So, we're still in cities and in dispersion of lands. We finished up all the tribes except for Levi. And they don't have a portion in Israel, but they have cities donated by each of the tribes because they had to have the priest class among them to perform certain duties. So we'll get into that right now. This is chapter 21, verse 1. The heads of the ancestral houses of the Levium approached unto Eleazar the priest and to Yahshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the ancestral houses of the tribes of the children of Israel. Okay, they're coming to him, actually them. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moshe to give us cities to dwell in with the pastures of them for our cattle. And verse 3, and the children of Israel gave to the Levium from their inheritance at the commandment of Yahweh these cities and their pastures. Verse 4, and the lot came forth for the clans of the Kohathi, 6936, and the children of Aharon the priest from the Levium had by lot from the tribe of Yehuda and from the tribe of Shimeon and from the tribe of Binyamin 13 cities. Now remember, Shimeon was within the borders of Yehuda, and Benjamin was right next door to Yehuda. Verse 5, and the rest of the children of Kehath, 955, by lot, from the clans of the tribe of Ephraim, and from the tribe of Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. And the children of Gershon, 1648, by lot, from the clans of the tribe of Issachar, and from the tribe of Asher, and from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. Verse 7. The children of Merari, 4847, by their clans, from the tribe of Reuben, and from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. And the children of Israel gave by lot to the Lewium these cities with their pastures, as Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moshe. And they gave from the tribe of the children of Yehuda, and from the tribe of the children of Simeon, these cities which are mentioned by name. Yeah, I need a little coffee here. Verse 10, which the children of Aharon, from the clans of the Kohathi, from the children of Lewi, had, because theirs was the first lot. They gave them Kiriath Arba, named for the father of Anak, which is Hebron, in the hill country of Yehuda, with the pastures of it around it. But the fields of the city and the villages of it they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for his possession. They gave to the children of Aharon the priest Hebron, which is pastures, with its pastures, as a city of refuge for the slayer, Libna, with its pastures. So Libna would be a city of refuge. Yatir with its pastures. Eshtemoa, 851, with its pastures. Kolon with its pastures. Debir with its pastures. Ayin with its pastures. Utah with its pastures. And Beth Shemeth, the house of the sun, with its pastures. 9 cities from those 2 tribes. From the tribe of Benjamin, that's Benjamin, Gibeon with its pastures, Geba with its pastures, Anatoth with its pastures, and Almon with its pastures, 4 cities. Verse 19. All the cities of the children of Aharon, the priests, 13 cities with their pastures. Verse 20. And the clans of the children of Kehath, the Lewium, which remained of the children of Kehath, had cities of their lot from the tribe of Ephraim. See, all the children of Kehath did not die when he was slain, because they weren't all in on the conspiracy. Verse 21, they gave them Shechem with its pastures in the hill country of Ephraim as a city of refuge for the slayer, Gezer with its pastures. So Gezer would be a city of refuge. Kibsayim, 6911, with its pastures, and Beth Koran with its pastures, 4 cities. From the tribe of Dan, Eltike with its pastures, Gibbethon with its pastures. Ayalon with its pastures. And Gath Rimmon, 1667, with its pastures. Four cities. Verse 25. From the half tribe of Manasseh, Taanach with its pastures, and Yibleam, 2991, with its pastures, two cities. All the cities, 10 with their pastures, for the clans of the children of Kehath that remain, 3498. To the children of Gershon, of the clans of the Lewium, from the half-tribe of Manasseh, Golan in Bashan with its pastures. That's where the Golan Heights are that's so disputed today. As a city of refuge for the slayer, and Be'eshtera, 1203, with its pastures, two cities. So Golan would be a city of refuge. And 1203, Be'eshtera means house of Ashtoreth, a pagan name, okay? Verse 28, from the tribe of Issachar, the Y is silent, it's Y-I-S-S-A-S-C-H-A-R. But it's like Israel. The Y is silent. Y-I-S-R-I-E-L. Kishon with its pastures. Dabereth with its pastures. Verse 29. Yarmuth with its pastures. Ein Ganim with its pastures. Four cities. Verse 30. From the tribe of Asher, Mishal with its pastures, Abdon with its pastures, Kelkoth with its pastures, and Rechob with its pastures, four cities. From the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh in Galil, that is Galilee, with its pastures, as a city of refuge for the slayer. So Kadesh would be a city of refuge. Kamoth Dor, 2576, with its pastures, and Kartan, 7178, with its pastures, three cities. Verse 33. All the cities of the Gerashuni, 1649, according to their clans, 13 cities with their pastures. Now, verse 34, and you can reference verse 34 in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 77. To the clans of the children of Merari, the rest of the Lewium, from the tribe of Zebulun, Yokneam with its pastures, Karta, Q-A-R-T-A-H, 7177, with its pastures, Dimna, 1829, with its pastures. 1829 means dung, as dead bodies on the ground. That's what the meaning of that name is. Oh boy. And Nahalal with its pastures, four cities. from the tribe of Reuben, Betzer with its pastures, Yatzah with its pastures, Kedemoth with its pastures, and Mephaoth, 4158, with its pastures, four cities. From the tribe of Gad, Ramoth in Gilead with its pastures as a city of refuge for the slayer, and Machanaim with its pastures, Heshbon with its pastures, and Yazer with its pastures, four cities in all. Verse 40. Now you notice that all the cities of refuge are cities of the Levites, the priest class. Verse 40. All the cities for the children of Merari by their clans, which were remaining of the clans of the Lewium, were by lot 12 cities. They cast lots for these cities. 31. All cities of the Lewium within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their pastures. 42. These cities were everyone with pastures around them. Thus were all these cities. And verse 43. Yahweh gave to Israel all the land which he swore to give to their forefathers, and they possessed it and dwelled in it. He kept his promise. They weren't obeying completely because they didn't run out all the Canaanites, but they now possessed that land, pretty much of it, because the Canaanites were still there. 44. Yahweh gave them rest. That's 5117. Gave them rest all around. In other words, no more war right now. According to all he swore to their forefathers. Okay. He said he would give them peace. Due to apostasy, he's going to send enemies against them because they're going to disobey in the future. But right now, they've got the cities, and there stood no man of their hated enemies. 3:4:1. Now, 341 carries racial and tribal connotations. Okay? An enemy tribe of another race. There's other words used for hate or enemies. But this number 341 is much more emphatic than the others. It's got a harder context to it. Yahweh gave all their hated enemies into their hand. In other words, under their power. 45. There failed no thing of any good thing which Yahweh had declared to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Yahweh doesn't lie. Yahweh does not break promises. We do. We have promised Yahweh. We have sworn to Yahweh. We have done this. We have done that. And yet, here I am in North America in dispersion because my forefathers disobeyed. Our ancestors didn't complete their commission. We are under oppression as Israel today by these hated enemies the ones they're talking about here, hated enemies that own all the banks and all the media and basically are riding high and are over us right now. That's not going to last. Okay? I keep telling everybody every show, the Messiah's coming back. Get yourself spiritually prepared and physically prepared for the tribulation that's going to precede his return. Because it's going to be real unpleasant for a while. And we're trying to get the remnant gathered together in one accord, with one mindset, that we are Israel, we need to help one another. We got to stop all this silliness within our ranks. Put aside the egos. It's non-productive. It hurts our people. In other words, we as a nation of Israel must get our act together. That's the message in Scripture. Let's get into chapter 22 here. Remember that the Reubeni, the Gadi, and half of Manasseh, not all of Manasseh, only half of the half tribe, wanted land on the other side of the Jordan, the Jordan River. Well, here they're going to send them home. Chapter 22, verse 1. At that time, Yahshua called the Reubeni and the Gadi and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said to them, you have kept all that Moshe, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you, and you have obeyed my voice in all I commanded you. Verse 3. You have not forsaken your kinsmen these many days until this day, but have kept the charge, that's 4931, of the commandment, 4687, that's mitzvah, of Yahweh your Elohim. And now Yahweh your Elohim has given rest to your kinsmen, as he promised them. Therefore, now return, 6437, and go to your tents, to the land of your possession, that's Akuzath 272, which Moshe, the servant of Yahweh, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Verse 5, but take great heed to do the commandments, 4687 again, and the laws, that's the Torah, the teachings which Moshe the servant commanded, 6680, commanded you to love Yahweh your Elohim and to walk in all his ways and to keep all his commandments and to cleave to him, at 1692, be joined to him in all things and to serve him with all your heart, 3824, and all your soul or being. All you do, 5315, nefesh. You physically obey. Okay? Verse 6. So Yahshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their tents. To the half-tribe of Manasseh, Moshe had given territory in Bashan, but to the other half, Yahshua gave among their kinsmen on this side of the Jordan, seaward, that's west of the Jordan, and when Yahshua sent them away also to their tents, he blessed them, because you had part of Manasseh on one side of the river and part of Manasseh on the other side of the river. Verse 8. And he spoke to them, okay, saying, return with much riches to your tents, Riches is 5233, which with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, and with very much clothing, 8008. Divide the spoil of your hated enemies with your kinsmen. Oh boy. And boy was they, because they just looted these cities. When they conquered all the Canaanites, they just took everything. Well, it didn't matter. They killed them all when they took the cities. Verse 9, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel from Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go to the land of Gilead, to the land of their possession, of which they had possessed, according to the word of Yahweh by the hand of Moshe. All right, listen up. This is an important section we're going to get into right now. Verse 10. And when they came to the boundary, 1552, of the Jordan, that is in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar, 4196, by the Jordan, a great altar in appearance, 4758. Now the tabernacle was still with the rest of the tribes, and that's where the altars of Yahweh were. So they built an altar. This upsets the rest of Israel. Verse 11. And the children of Israel heard of it and said, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar toward the forefront, 4136, of the land of Canaan on the boundary of the children of Israel. They were all talking about this. In other words, the children that heard of it and said, in other words, they were talking among themselves. Verse 12, and when the children of Israel heard, the entire congregation, 5712, of the children of Israel assembled, 6950, at Shiloh to go up to war, 6635, against them. They thought they were setting up a whole new place of worship. Okay, they were mistaken, but this was going through their mind. Verse 13, the children of Israel sent to the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, Pinchas, 6372, the son of Eleazar the priest. This is the same guy that ran the spear, the javelin, through the Israelite guy and the Midianite woman. He's not touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy. He's a warrior. He's not a guy to fool with. Verse 14, and with him 10 chieftains, 5387, one for each ancestral house of all the tribes of Israel, and each man a head of the house of their forefather among the thousands of Israel. These were the leaders, the head guys, okay, of all the rest of the tribes. So they were nobody to play with either. They were commanders. They commanded a whole tribe. So this was serious business here. Verse 15. And they came to the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, to the land of Gilead, and they spoke with them, saying, and this is what's going through their minds. In verse 16, you can reference the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Thus says the whole congregation of Yahweh. What trespass, 4604, is this that you have committed, 4603, against the Elohim of Israel, to turn away this day from following Yahweh, that you have built an altar, that you rebel, 4775, this day against Yahweh? They thought they were building some kind of other altar. It's going to be explained in a minute, but they were really upset. They were ready to put the hammer on these guys. Verse 17, is the guilt of iniquity, 5771, of Peor, 6465, remember Baal Peor, where they were misled by the Midianites and the Israelites sinned, joining with the Midianites in the Baal worship, and they killed a bunch of the Israelites. Yahweh killed a bunch of them, and then they executed the leaders, and that was just terrible. This is verse 17. You can reference Numbers 25, verses 1 through 9. Is the guilt of iniquity of Peor insufficient, 4592, for us, from which we are not cleansed, 2891, until this day, even though there was a plague, 5063, in the congregation of Yahweh? That's when Phinehas stuck those two with a javelin and stopped the plague. Verse 18, but you must turn away this day from following Yahweh? And it will be if you rebel, 4775, this day against Yahweh, tomorrow he will be angry, 7107, with the whole congregation of Israel. You see where they were going with this? They were afraid that these tribes that built this altar were going to make Yahweh angry, and he was going to punish the whole nation for their trespass. Verse 19, but howbeit, 389, if the land of your possession is unclean, 2931, pass over to the land of the possession of Yahweh, in which Yahweh's tabernacle, 4908, abides, 7931, and take possession among us. In other words, why are you building an altar? We have the tabernacle among us. But do not rebel against Yahweh, nor rebel against us in building you an altar apart, 1107, from 4480, the altar of Yahweh, your Elohim. They thought they were building a pagan altar. Verse 20, did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass in the devoted thing, and wrath, 7110, fell on all the congregation of Israel? And that man did not perish alone for his iniquity? And verse 20, you can reference the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verses 1 through 26. Verse 21. Then the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and said to the heads of the thousands of Israel, I told you these guys were the leaders of all these tribes. Verse 22. Yahweh El of Elohim, in other words, God of gods, Yahweh El of Elohim, he knows. And Israel, they shall know, if in rebellion or if in transgression against Yahweh, do not save us this day. 3, 4, 6, 7, save. The divine being of divine beings. Verse 23, if we build us an altar to turn away from following Yahweh, or if to offer upon it burnt offerings or grain offering, if to offer sacrifice of alliance, 8,002, that's well-being, Shelemim, upon it, let Yahweh himself exact a penalty, 1, 2, 4, 5. Verse 24, if we have not done it for anxiety, 1674, from this thing, saying, in the future, your children might speak to our children, saying, what have you done? What have you to do with Yahweh Elohim of Israel? Yahweh has made the Jordan a border between us and you, children of Reuben and children of Gad. You have no portion in Yahweh, so shall your children make our children cease. 7673, from revering, 3372, Yahweh. They were worried that the other tribes, which were separated from them, their children would say, who are you? You're on the other side of the river. You don't have any portion with us. Okay, verse 26. We said, now make ready to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor sacrifice. Verse 27. But it is a witness, 5707, between us and you, and our posterity, or generation, 1755, after us, that we might serve, 5647, the service, 5656, of Yahweh before him with our burnt offerings and sacrifices and offerings of alliance, that's well-being, that your children may not say to our children in the future, you have no portion in Yahweh. We said, it shall be, because we may say, behold the pattern of the altar of Yahweh, the pattern, 8403. Behold the pattern of the altar of Yahweh which our forefathers made. Okay? This is a copy of the altar at the tabernacle. Not for burnt offerings nor sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. So they could not say, oh, you have no portion in Yahweh. Look, we're part of Israel. This is what the altar looks like at the capital, basically. Verse 29. Let it never be, that's all one word, 2486, that we should rebel against Yahweh and turn this day from following Yahweh to build an altar for burnt offerings, grain offerings, or sacrifices apart from the altar of Yahweh or Elohim that is before his tabernacle. Aha! They explained it. Verse 30. And when Pinchas the priest, he was a high priest, He was a high priest. Eleazar was the high priest. And the rulers, 5387, of the congregation, and the heads of thousands of Israel which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the children of Manasseh spoke. It was pleasing, 3190, in other words, fulfilling in their sight, 5869. And Pinchas, the son of Eleazar the priest, Eleazar was a high priest, and Pinchas was a high priest, not the high priest, said to, because he had his own priesthood, the Phinehas priesthood, the priest said to the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the children of Manasseh, this day we know that Yahweh is among us, for you have not committed this trespass against Yahweh. Now you have delivered the children of Israel from the hand of Yahweh, because they understood it was not irreverent for them to build a copy of the altar. It was in reverence that they built a copy of the altar. They weren't going to burn anything on it. They were just going to show, this is what it looks like. Look at it. This is what our portion is in Yahweh at the capital where the tabernacle is. Because at that time it was in Shiloh. Verse 32. And Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the leaders returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad, from the land of Gilead to the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and returned the word to them. Verse 33. And the thing was pleasing in the sight of the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed Elohim and did not speak to go up against them in war to destroy, 7843, the land in which the children of Reuben and the children of Gad dwelled. All right, verse 34. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar, and the name is not given. Okay, some have put witness here, but it does not make sense in context, but no actual name is in the Hebrew text that I have seen. And I've looked at a bunch of Hebrew texts. They don't actually give the name. Now, moving on. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar blank, because it is a witness between us that Yahweh is Elohim. And they put in witness when there's no name there as the name of the altar. That's what they do. They just fill in whatever the heck they want. There's no name given in the Hebrew. But it is a witness between us. So they called it witness in their translations. They inserted a word that is not actually there in the Hebrew, as is their habit. They tend to do that, especially in the King James, has a lot of stuff that they have added. They do not follow the Hebrew text. They follow their own agenda. You can see by this chapter, with the building of this altar, how important the relationship between the Israelites and Yahweh was to them at that time. Yahweh was everything to them. He had just given them all this land, even though they were still disobedient in some ways by not wiping out the Canaanites. They were just men, and if it was a real tough battle, they slacked off. They didn't have the zeal that Phinehas had. They didn't have the heart for finishing the job. And they were warned what would happen about the thorns in the side and the pricks in the eyes, and here we are today. We need to go back as a nation to the feeling that Yahweh is all important in our lives. My motto, you can see it on Skype if you contact me on Skype, is Yahweh first in all things. Yahweh first. If it interferes with your relationship to Yahweh, don't do it. Give it up. Yahweh first. Sometimes you pay a price for that. Not always comfortable. It's not always convenient in this world. And this world is only a testing ground. We are being tested right now. That's what I stress to people. Don't worry about this world as much as you worry about the next. This world's going to pass away. All the government's doing this and they're doing that, and the Jews are doing this and the Jews are doing it. Yeah, they are. Okay, we know this. Yahweh's got it, okay? At his time frame, not ours. At his pleasure, not ours. Yahshua will return. If you read, as I say every week, every day, every time I do a show almost, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Tells you what's going to happen when he comes with his mighty messengers in flaming fire. Government. Oh, government, the government's to all the conspiracy, and they're spying on us and they're doing it. Yep, they are. They are. What are you going to do about it? And say, man, nothing. We're not going to do it. We're not going to take care of it. Every government on this planet, regardless, is all in apostasy. All of them are unrighteous. Every government. When Yeshua returns, simultaneously, all at once, every government on this planet will fall. Not just this one, not just Great Britain, not just Germany, not just France. All of them. Even the governments of the non-Israel nations. The Word will wipe them out, and Yeshua will assume the kingship, not just of Israel, but the whole planet. One king, ruling over all. And the administrators of that will be the remnant of Israel that has been faithful, did not lose faith. Even if you lose your life, don't lose your faith. You'll be back in a new body. You're going to die in this one anyway unless he returns while you're still alive. You're not getting out of here with your stuff. Your possessions should be secondary, if at best, to your spiritual well-being and your relationship with Yahweh. Nothing should get in the way of that. Absolutely nothing. And if it does get in the way of it, it's an idol and you should put it away. Yahweh first in all things. Eternity is a long time, and this flesh body that we are in right now and this life in this world we are living right now is a temporary thing, as a testing ground, and it will pass away. I have a different take on things because I am an old man and I have been around and I have watched the destruction of my nation. I was born in 1947 in a segregated white America, and I have seen the destruction that has been wrought on this country. Beaver Cleaver and the Cleaver family and the Ozzie and Harriet thing when everything was right, and a white picket fence and two cars in the garage, and that was real, man. That's not fantasy. We lived that. For those of you that were born a lot later, it was an all-white nation, and we let it go. The enemy was working from within and deceived us. Okay, we blew it. We blew it back in the promised land too. And we were booted out. We're in dispersion. We're everywhere but there. We're not in that land anymore. We're all over the planet. All the Israel nations that have migrated all over. And all of this that we're experiencing now is going to come to a screeching halt. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We keep procrastinating and putting things off. We need to get our relationship personally right with Yahweh and be obedient now. We don't know when he's coming back. It could be today, tonight, 5 years from now. I may live to see him return. I may not, but I will be spiritually prepared, even if I have to rise from the dust. I don't care. It doesn't matter. This body's falling apart. We need to be spiritually right with our Father in heaven. We need to accept the redemption of the sacrifice made at Calvary for us by Yeshua the Messiah, because he's coming back to rule, and those who have not accepted him and recognized him and proclaimed him are toast. Doesn't matter how many troops they've got. Doesn't matter how much money they've got. Doesn't matter how much they're oppressing us now. Their day in the sun is coming to an end. And even a lot of them recognize it, and they're going in panic mode. Satan himself, the devil, the Halel, whatever his name is, I don't care what it is. He knows it. He wants to destroy as many of us and his own minions. He doesn't love them. They're deceived. They're puppets. They're cannon fodder for him. He hates mankind, Adamic and non-Adamic. He hates us. He's evil. It's hard for people to conceive of a being like that. And he's got physical children here on this planet that are doing his will. And he will sacrifice his own children, and they're too stupid to know it. They're not going to get mercy from him, even though they worship him. He's hateful, even to his own. They're not going to have resurrection. That's why they don't believe in it. Because there is no resurrection for them, only for us. Quit believing their lies. Quit believing this universalist doctrine that you're hearing in the Judeo-Christian churches. Yeshua said, I come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no ambiguity, no shades of gray. Very clear, very concise. There is no spiritual Israel. You are either born an Israelite by bloodline, by DNA, or you are not. No matter what they try to tell you to help their collection plate, to have a big congregation in a megachurch and padded pews and stained glass windows and pipe organs and Cadillacs in the parking lot. Ain't happening. And we as a nation, Israel, must be prepared for our kinsmen redeemers. Second coming. Nothing else must take priority over that in your lives. You must be responsible to teach your children this truth. And to disassociate yourselves from those that teach otherwise. Come out from among them and be ye separate, Israel. Well, I'm coming down the end of the time period here. I only have a few minutes. And sufficient coffee to suffice. I'm not angry at you. I care about you. And I'm grieving, and it upsets me to see the pattern that our own people are following. And I just want to grab you and shake you and wake you up, because your lives are precious to me more than my own. It upsets me to see the destruction of my people through their own foolishness, that our people won't accept this blessing that Yahweh has offered so freely. A lot of us have. A lot of us are in the remnant. The remnant is growing. But I'm just trying to get to the fence sitters of our people. I can't make you jump off the fence. You're going to have to do it on your own. You have to really, truly believe and love Yahweh. Otherwise, it's fake. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And I'm willing to put my life at risk by telling the truth. And I do. I understand I'm at risk. But I care about you, and I love Yahweh above everything. And as far as I am concerned, nothing else matters. Praise Yahweh, praise Yeshua the Messiah. Shalom Aleichem until Monday. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of